I want to read just a little bit from the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Let's read the 16th verse. It says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the obscuring and of the stock encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, and because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription: To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of the habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him, and believed, among which was Dionysius and Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." All right, backing up just a little bit here to the scripture. "For I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription: To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." The unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Paul says the unknown God, whom ye ignorantly worship. You know, people many years ago ignorantly worshiped God. They've been worshiping God all down through the years. But many years ago, they ignorantly worshiped God. That is to say, they danced around totem poles, or they prayed to the unknown God, or they'd done things unto all kind of idols and whatever, looking for God and trying to speak concerning God and tell concerning God. Tutor people concerning God. They ignorantly, many of them that is, ignorantly worship the true God. And not knowing his name, not knowing anything about him, but in their heart, they sincerely were searching for God. And as Paul said here, this God that's unknown to you, you ignorantly worship him. So he said, "I would not have you ignorant." So he brings to them the name of Jesus. This is the name and the only name that's given among men whereby men must be saved. There is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. So then God does not want us ignorantly worshiping God. He wants us to know and to understand. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. So many people today are ignorant as to who God is. And so many people, they say that he is God in heaven, but they don't know his name. And some say his name is Jehovah, and some call him one thing, and some call him another thing. But the truth of it is, though Jehovah in many ways brings out the redemptive names of God, yet there is but one name that has salvation in it. There is but one name that can bring healing. There is but one name that can bring prosperity. There is but one name that can bring blessings. You know, right at the time that we're living in right now, it's really a critical age, because it's right at the coming of the Lord. And since it's near to the coming of the Lord, then that means that we're on the verge of great catastrophes all over the world. And great calamities are befalling people everywhere. The Bible said there'll be famines, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be pestilence, there'll be all kinds of things that will happen in the latter times. I noticed that right here on the campground, Brother Larry Allen was telling me today, some kind of beetles are striking our pine trees after all these years and killing them out. And it looks like we can't do anything about it. We're going to have to pray and ask God to spare our trees and our big oak trees out here. Oh, there's some kind of diseases and whatever striking them, and the trees look like they're not going to be spared. And all over the world, it's been a terrible, terrible thing as the pestilence increasing. And it's the same way with sickness, and it's the same way with physical pestilence. Killers. I noticed a little article in the paper, and at least 5 cab drivers have just recently been killed, and they're all nervous and torn up, and they're pleading their cause. And all over the world, it's the same way. There's murder, pestilence, sorrows, heartaches, the beginning of sorrows. All these things, they're increasing more and more. And inasmuch as there is to be a great earthquake that will shake all nations to the earth, as to the buildings crumbling to the earth, as John saw it in Revelation, so then God is laying the foundation for it. I believe I counted today at least 9 or 10 earthquakes that's happened in a period of a few months. And in the last few weeks, there's numbers of them that's taken place. The report that I've got has been, whether true or not, I don't know, but maybe like in Rome and like in Cuba and like in over here in California and Japan and my, I don't know how many. I've just heard of them recently. It ain't been that long, I believe, since something struck in Alaska. But at least 10 earthquakes or more in the last few months has happened. Now, it's happened all around the world. So that means that God is letting those earthquakes take place in the different places. Whereas the Bible said in earthquakes in divers places, which means different places. These earthquakes are taking place in different places. So that when this great earthquake that's supposed to hit Jerusalem comes about, then it will strike the whole world. The Bible speaks of one great earthquake that will come about the middle of the week, probably over in the middle of Daniel's last week. That'll happen in Jerusalem, a great mighty earthquake that will just tear everything up. And then at the end of that week, it speaks of one toward the end of that week that will be so great that it will strike the entire world. And John said, so great an earthquake we've never known since the beginning of the world. And he said, and I saw the cities of the nations crumble to the ground, which means that the earthquake will hit all over the world. And right now, see, God's letting earthquakes hit all around the earth so that it can crack the ground open and break everything up, so that when this one great earthquake strikes, this great tremor begins to strike, that all of these places will already be cracked open and already be ready, that he can just let it just go all around the world and just tear the nations all to pieces. So we're on the verge of that great thing, that great calamity taking place. And still, at this time of life, people are ignorantly worshiping God. They still don't know the name of Jesus. Even over here in Israel, they don't know the name of Jesus as to God. They don't know. They know of a name, Jesus, but they don't know the name of Jesus as to being the name of God. They don't understand it. And yet it started right there in their country. And the resurrection took place in their country, but they're still just as blind as they can be. And all around the world, this thing is gone, but people are still blind. They still don't know that Jesus is the only true and the living God, that salvation and healing and deliverance and protection is in his name. So then they ignorantly worship the unknown God. Because of this, they are sick in their bodies. Their lives are filled with poverty and problems. And they have fears and frustration. Their lives are filled with anxiety. And they don't know anything about God or deliverance. They don't know anything about salvation. They don't know anything about healing. They don't know anything about believing God for real, genuine prosperity. You know, you can have prosperity, but prosperity is this way. That if you get riches deceitfully, you'll be cut off in the midst of your days. And in the end, you'll be a fool. You can get riches. The world has the way of giving you riches. You have to cheat, swindle, manipulate, and take from other people and whatever. But the world can make you rich. But it'll make you rich with sorrow. There'll be heartaches and woes and problems. And all of these things. And the Bible said following after these things, many people in following after these things have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So there's many heartaches and sorrows in the world today because people are getting those things deceitfully. But the Bible said it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And the Bible says that you can be rich. God will make rich. His blessings will make you rich and add no sorrow. And that if you confess your sins and forsake your sins, that whatever you do will prosper. But if you cover your sins, there's not anything that you'll do that'll prosper. So then we find that God has given us Jesus. Not the unknown God, but the known God. We know that He is God. He has given us Jesus, and the beautiful part about this is He has said to us through the name and sacrifice of His Son, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Not war, not earthquakes, not fears, not sickness, not pestilence, not all these things that we're running into, not all of this confusion. He said, peace on earth. I want peace on earth. Somebody would say, I don't know the will of God. All of this confusion, Brother Pike, they say, I don't know the will of God. I don't know what's going on anymore. But folks, let me tell you, I know the will of God. It's like Billy Graham made the statement, or I understand he made the statement. They asked him the question about the California calamity. And said, what do you think? Do you think that this is the act of God? You know, the judgment of God. He said, nope. Said, I don't think it is. That's according to report. But folks, I can tell you it was. Irregardless to what he thinks about it, it's not a matter of what I think about it or what he thinks about it. The Bible said evil cannot come to a city lest I send it, saith the Lord. That was evil. That wasn't good. That wasn't peace on earth. That wasn't from God, as to say the blessings of God. That was the judgments of God. Because God says anything that goes wrong in any city, I'm the one that sent it. Evil cannot come to a city lest I sin it, saith the Lord. I'm the one that creates the evil, and I'm the one that creates the good. And I have my way in all of it, and I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I rule in the affairs of men, he said. I rule in the affairs of men. So then I rule in the affairs of men. I say what I want to. I do what I want to. I work everything the way I want to. If I want the bridge to fall in, it collapses. So then it was the judgments of God. No matter what you say, I say this, what the Bible says. Evil cannot come to a city lest I've sinned it, saith the Lord. So then we find that no matter how great the man Billy Graham is, or Oral Roberts, or any other minister in the world, it does not change the Word of God. Neither are they an authority as to say what they think and that it's to be that way. When God says it, that's the way it is. And the Bible said, let every man be a liar and the Word of God be true. So then, God's Word is true. That was the judgments of God. And that was the judgments of God when it hit Alaska. And that was the judgments of God when it hit Japan. And that was the judgments of God in every other place it hit. That was the judgments of God when that great cyclone or whatever it was struck the Carolinas. That was the judgments of God. When cancer hits you, that's the judgments of God. When sickness hits you, that's the judgments of God. You can explain it away and say, no, God didn't have anything to do with it, but it was the judgments of God. It was the judgments of God. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I'm doing the best I can. This cerebral disease hit me. But see, I'm telling you, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't know how to evaluate according to the mind of God. And this is why that you don't understand the condition of your body and the sicknesses and those kind of things. Anytime sickness hits you, it's the judgments of God. Always it's the judgments of God. Someone would say, what do you mean by that if I'm trying to do the best I can? I mean by that that God don't accept the best you can do. God accepts one thing, and that's faith. And faith purifies you in the sight of God. And if you don't believe, then you, the Bible said, then the wrath of God abides upon you. It don't have to come upon you. Anytime you disbelieve, it abides upon you. That is to say, without faith or without the shield of faith, Satan literally eats you up. So then you've got to have faith in God. You've got to have faith for your salvation. You've got to have faith for your healing. You've got to have faith for your prosperity. You've got to have faith for your entire life and the life of your loved ones. And if you don't have it, then the judgments of God come on you. It doesn't matter how good that you think you're doing. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel would fast and they would pray. And they would pray at length, long prayers. And they would fast, long fast. And then these things would happen to them. And Israel will say, wherefore is it that we fasted and you hear not? See, God said, is this the fast that I've chosen? That a man get down in sackcloth and ashes, bow down his head like a bulrush? Said, I have no pleasure in that kind of thing. I just saw a magazine the last day or two. Came down to my house, and this man is a great, great man of renown across the world. Thousands of people. I think that they advertise it right now. They've got probably 13,000 ministers or more in their movement. But this man was down, had a suit on, had a tie, and then had sackcloth wrapped around him, and he was down in sackcloth and ashes, and they took a picture. And he said he was praying in sackcloth and ashes. Folks, I don't mean it wrong. Perhaps that's a great, mighty man. I have nothing to say against him. But that's nothing less than foolishness. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, that's nothing less than foolishness. So, all of these great things happening, and all these great ministers doing these things and saying these things, why are they saying these things? Because, like Paul said, they do ignorantly worship God. They are ignorant to the real will of God. They're ignorant to the real way of God. And because of this, they're ignorantly worshiping God. But Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. He said, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So then, here we see the inscription to the unknown God. But folks, I'm glad that at Bethlehem we don't have an inscription to the unknown God. We know God. And because of this, then we can look to God through Jesus Christ and through the blood of the Lord and say, I thank the Heavenly Father for peace on earth and goodwill toward man. I know that you want peace on earth and you won't rest until peace covers the entire earth. The Bible said, and in that day he'll bind Lucifer and put him into the bottomless pit. And the Bible said, during that time, nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. There'll be peace throughout the earth. Even the little one can play on the cockatrice den. And the little one can go over and play with the lion. And the Bible said the lamb that's so peaceful can lay down with the lion. And nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. He won't be a vicious man killer to eat meat. But he'll eat straw just like the bullocks. So then we find that thing echoes to us coming from glory. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean goodwill toward man? Goodwill toward man. And the angel said peace on earth and goodwill toward man. See, it's not a bad will toward man. It's not judgment toward man. It's not those things that God would do to literally tear us apart, where the Bible said, beware, ye wicked, lest I tear you into pieces. And I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And all these kind of things. That's not what it was from God to man. It was goodwill, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. That is healing toward man. When I say goodwill, he's saying peace to me. peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. He said, follow after me and you'll have peace. And said, he that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. If you meditate in my laws day and night, all of the paths of God are peace. And that if we follow after righteousness, we'll have peace. And if we keep our mind in righteousness, we'll have peace. Peace on earth. It's my will, he said, for you to have peace on the earth. Not trouble with the man and the wife, with the mother, daddy, and the children, with the neighbors, with the creditors, with the neighboring countries. Not that kind of thing. Not a racial conflict. But he said, peace. I'm the spirit of peace. What happens? We crowd the spirit of peace out. We're so busy eating, drinking, and feeding the tummy. We're so busy powdering and painting the face. We're so busy jogging and lifting weights and trying to build the body. We're so busy with sports and going out to the things of the world and the nightlife of the world that we forget about God. We push God out. We do away with the spirit of peace and we become wicked and wretched and gullible in our desire and gullibly doing everything contrary to God and the spirit of peace we don't know. The spirit of peace leaves. We don't have any virtue in our life, not any virtue at all. We don't have any virtue in our life because we do the wicked things of the world. Therefore, we can't pray the prayer of faith. We can't bring deliverance to nobody. We can't tell them the truth because we are a liar to begin with if we don't follow God. So then he says, goodwill toward man. Goodwill toward man. I say, Heavenly Father, what are you talking about? Goodwill toward man. And he says, my feelings toward man is good. My will toward man is good. Say, Jesus, heal me. Heal me, Jesus. Do you believe it's God's will? I sure do. Why? Because he said goodwill toward Brother Pike. He said goodwill toward Brother Taylor. He said goodwill toward you folks. Peace on earth without respect to person. What I say to one, I say to all. I say goodwill to Brother Vince. Goodwill to the people. Goodwill to the Japanese. Goodwill to the Germans. Goodwill to the black man and the white man. Goodwill to all people around the world without respect to person. Goodwill. A goodwill from me, he said, towards you. Somebody says, I don't know his will. Well, from now on, we know his will. It is a good will toward man. It is a good will. God is good and his will toward man is good. So then he says, my good will toward you. Now, if I had a good will toward Brother Taylor, I would want him to prosper. I would want him to be in health. I would want his soul to prosper. The Bible teaches that Cain was jealous against Abel and he slew his brother because Abel had found favor with God. Jealousy steals and kills and destroys. There's a godly jealousy that presents things to itself holy and godly and pure, and that cares for the things that it hath, in the sense it doesn't want things abused that it hath, or things that the individual owns he doesn't want destroyed, he doesn't want them tampered with. But then there is a selfishness of jealousy, whereas you are jealous of the prosperity or the progress of another. You're jealous of them having anything, and you want everything, and you don't want them to have nothing. And you want to lord over them because of your evil jealousy. So then we say peace on earth. What does God want for the world? He wants peace on earth. What was Jesus? The Bible said he was the Prince of Peace. I am the Prince of Life. I am the Prince of Peace. See, and the Bible said all of the children of God are peacemakers. For ye shall be called the children of God, which is peacemakers. And wherever you go, you make peace. You don't backbite. You don't go around tail-bearing. The Bible said where there's tail-bearing, there's strife. There's envy, there's malice. And where there's confusion, there's every evil work. So then when you tail bear, you cause confusion. Then when confusion comes, it is a doorway to every evil work. So then you can't tail bear, you can't backbite. The Bible said move the tail bear. And then the strife will be gone. Then you'll have peace. See, here at Bethlehem, in the churches I'm speaking to the people I'm speaking to. See, there is among you and among us tail bearers. They bear tales. They always say things. They're always going from one house to another, saying things they ought not. And Paul said, these interrupt households, and they bring calamities and wrath of God. And he said, whose mouths need to be stopped, said they go about subverting whole households. Though you may have a neighbor, and he may be a good neighbor, and he might want to live at peace with you, but this long-tongued gossiper that's going from house to house has got to drop a word here and drop a word there, because maybe they don't get along with the neighbor. So they drop a word here and they drop a word there. And after a while, they've got you evilly surmising in your mind, wondering about this and wondering about that, to the extent that you think your neighbor is wretched. And maybe they're the finest kind of person. But just because you heard something and listened to something and didn't take God's word for it, didn't search out the tail bearer, then you got strife. So then all the children of God are peacemakers. You can tell if you got a child of God in your community. He'll be a peacemaker. And he'll have love and he'll have concern. And he'll want to do something that's good. You can tell when you got an old devil, because it's a long-tongued thing that never quits backbiting, gossiping, sowing strife, accusing, saying things, running off at the mouth continually about something that they don't know what they're talking about. And when they think they know something, they don't know something that as they ought to know. And the thing that they ought to know is that they ought to keep their mouth shut. Because the Bible said there's some mouths that ought to be shut, stopped. And the Bible said, if any man among you seems to be religious, and this man bridleth not his tongue, then this man's religion is in vain. For the Bible said, the tongue is a little member that's set on fire by the course of hell, and no man can tame it. So then, when we give ourselves to God, we become peacemakers. And then we know that Christ is living on the inside, because we make peace. We talk about holy things. Our conversation is in heaven. It's not gossiping and backbiting. It's not joking. It's not temper. It's not lustful things and gullible desires. Our conversation, our thoughts are pure. We cast down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against this knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So then we commit ourselves to God, to give all of our deeds to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which, as I said at the men's meeting the other night, which is just a reasonable service. That's all. See, we don't go about doing our own thing. We don't go about planning our own. I'm talking about Christians now. We don't go about planning our own lives. We don't go about talking about our future and looking to some career or got some stretched out thing that we're going to do with our lives, whether it's educational wise or whatever it might be. That is for the next 5, the next 10 years. What we do is we forfeit our right to all things, and we die to those things, and we are buried to those things in a watery grave in the lovely name of Jesus. We repent of all of our sins and ambitions, and we turn away from the desire of the flesh, and then we commit ourselves to God without reservation of heart, saying, here am I, send me. Whatever you would like for me to do. You know, somebody rises up and they say, I like baseball, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, and I've got to go to college, get me 8 or 10 years of college, and after this I'm going to get into something, but my ultimatum is to be a baseball player. It'll take me years of training, and then I'm going to give my life to baseball. I love the Lord. But what if God had decided that he wanted you for a missionary? Then where is the baseball game? Where is all the college? Somebody said, 10 years in college, what if he wanted you right now? Right now. Then what happens to your college? Folks, let me tell you, whatever you want to do, that's your business. Whether it's baseball, football, volleyball, basketball, college, or whatever it is. Whether it's a career, whatever it is. But I'm telling you, when you come to God, and you give your heart to God, you're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. And you are supposed to glorify God. And you're supposed to cast down every thought, until you come into full obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and his desire. And you're supposed to have the mind of Christ in you. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if I take on the mind of Christ, can't you just see the mind of Christ saying that he's going to be some great football player? Or he's going to be some great singer or some great celebrity? Or some great dignitary? Can't you just see the mind of Christ doing that? Where in the Bible do you ever read of the mind of Christ doing that, or God thinking like that? Or at any time that Jesus ever did that? See, the Bible said, wherever I am, my disciples will be there, and that ye should follow in my steps.
So then he said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. A stranger, they will not follow. So he said, take up your cross and follow me. For Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And Satan savors the things that be of this world. When you're looking for all those kind of things. Folks, let me tell you something. I know the devil doesn't like this kind of preaching. You know, he wants to weave in and bring the world and everything else into this. But the Bible says, for you to come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and then I'll receive you, saith the Lord. See, and I know we like this little religious thing where we go to church on Sunday morning, we hear a little popcorn sermon as that has been said in the past, and after that we go out to do our thing all day to eat, drink, and frolic and do whatever we want to. You know, and as I have known in the past where the pastor meets them down on the beach, and there they're all in their bathing suits, and he gives them a word from God from the Bible. I've been down to those places, and I've seen this thing with my own eyes at that particular time. You know, and he makes it convenient for them so that they can get in there swim and they can do whatever they want to. Don't you know that these things are an abomination in the sight of God? Folks don't like that. They'd rather not have no preachers like that. That gets under their skin, and the Bible speaks of those two prophets is going to tell it like it is to the world. And the Bible said those two prophets tormented them that lived on the earth. So they stoned Stephen to death. They crucified Jesus. They'll kill those two prophets. And the Bible said you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. Because you're standing for God. And you're standing for holiness. And you're standing for righteousness. Did you know the Bible said without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is not some denominational circle that you get into. It's not some denominational practice or some ritualistics. Holiness is not that. Holiness is not some person that goes around being real pious. Holiness is the great spirit of life, which is God himself. The Bible said he is the spirit of holiness. I know the Pope, you know, they say his holiness, but that's altogether wrong. There's one his holiness, and that's the eternal spirit, even God. And so then the eternal spirit speaks to us. And the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. For the Lord was the spirit of holiness that was made flesh. And the Bible said that we're to be holy in our flesh. It says to be holy in spirit, in body, and in spirit. And it tells us that we follow after God, having the spirit of holiness, and our works unto holiness, and the end thereof, as to fruits of holiness, the end thereof, eternal life. So then we find that we're to be clean and we're to be holy. And the Bible said, everyone that nameth the name of Jesus Christ, let him depart from iniquity. And they that bear the vessels of God, let them be holy. Not a bunch of rock and roll singers. Not this kind of thing. That's an abomination in the house of God. And the pastor that allows those things to come in is a devil incarnate. Let's give the Lord another hand. So then we realize that there's a right way, as the song says, and there's a wrong way. And we want to go the way of the Lord. So the unknown God. I am looking for that God that says, peace on earth, peace on earth. Let's establish the kingdom of God. Well, along the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God's been preached, been oppressing their way into it. Wherever it goes, it's joyous and it's unspeakable and full of glory. Let's press in and let's bring this mind of Christ, to have this mind of Christ. Because if we have this mind of Christ, we have a book called the Bible. And it tells us exactly the way that this mind reacted. And exactly the thoughts of this mind, the desires of this mind, the compassion and concern of this mind as to God and his people. So let's get this mind of Christ. Let this mind of Christ be in you fully until every thought is brought into subjection to the mind of Christ. So then he says, peace on earth. This is the God of goodwill toward man. Goodwill. I say again, Father, what do you mean goodwill? I hear him say over, peace on earth. I want you to be peaceful. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. And then I hear him say, healing for you. I have bore within my body at Calvary your infirmities and your sickness. I bear them in my body on the tree so that you would not have to bear them. I took them all away. And all you've got to do is have faith in what I'm telling you. But without faith, it's impossible to please me. If you don't believe what I'm saying, he said it's impossible for you to do my pleasure or to please me. And because of your unbelief, the wrath of God abideth unto you, upon you, because unbelief is sin, and the worst kind of sin. You know, it would be bad. You do something wrong, that's bad. You go out here and do something wrong, that's bad. And I come along and I said, look, I required of you that you straighten that thing out. That's rough on you because maybe it's a little hard on the flesh. But folks, when God goes so far that he straightened out all of your wrongs and he took the punishment for all of your wrongs and the judgments for all of your wrongs so that you could have health and happiness and salvation and said, now look, there ain't nothing required of you except you believe what I say. Now, folks, when ain't nothing required but just for you to believe it, and then you walk away and trample the blood of Jesus Christ and refuse to believe in that, then the Bible says that God is angry with you all the day long. He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day, and I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And the only purification, he said, I've got for the wicked is faith. If they'll repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not my will that any should perish. Goodwill toward all men. It's not my will that any should perish. All should come to repentance and have everlasting life. And the wicked should forsake their wicked ways and turn to God and receive this everlasting blessing of salvation and healing and prosperity that God has got as the threefold blessing for mankind in the earth. Now, so I say, goodwill toward man. Now I know what the will of God is. All of my life we say, I didn't know the will of God. Someone would say, I've never known the will of God. I couldn't figure it all out. But now you know the will of God. What is the will of God? Goodwill. Goodwill. Goodwill for who? You. Goodwill toward you. Goodwill for you. What I did at Calvary, I did it for you without respect to person. Goodwill toward you. Do I now know the will of God? That's what the Bible says. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth shall speak God's word. So goodwill toward you. Goodwill toward you. That means, God, you want me to feel good. Sure. God, you don't want me to be bound with evil spirits. No. You want me to rejoice. He says, forevermore. And he said, serving God is joy, peace. Somebody says, but I serve God and all I have is misery. Folks, you're going through ritualistics. You may belong to a Pentecostal church. You may belong to a Baptist church. You may belong to a Catholic church. You may belong to a Methodist. You may belong to any kind of church. But that doesn't mean you're serving God. See, faith is service unto God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is, believe there is a God. And believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Serving God is believing. And when you believe, your sickness goes. And when you believe, your problems go. And when you believe, your oppression goes. When you believe in the goodwill of God toward you, while you're happy, you're just strong. You think, my God, he's satisfied with me. Not because of your wretchedness, but because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the good attitude toward us in our stumblings, in our staggerings, in our mistakes. But when we start becoming habitual in our practices toward evil and violation of his word and as to wrong toward our neighbor, then God will burn our fields. As you, Brother Jack used to say, he'll burn your barley fields. So then, peace on earth, goodwill toward all of you. Be happy, rejoice forevermore. You're sitting in those heavenly places. I have paid it all. We sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. See, so Jesus paid it all. Now we're free from sin. Now we're free from sickness. Now we're free from everything. Poverty, heartaches, whatever it might be. We're free from them. Somebody says, well, I'm not. That's because you are an unbeliever. Let's give him another hand. But when you start believing, Then righteousness is coming. God will purify your heart by faith, and it'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you'll find healing in your body. You'll find joy and jubilance in your soul. You'll find division. You'll just love serving God. Serving God will become a joy, and you'll find yourself like David of old, saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So then peace on earth, the angel said, goodwill toward man, that hath now been a Savior born. And the Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that take this glad tidings of great joy. The preacher brings you glad tidings, and this glad tidings, if you will hear it, then it will become joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can a man think? The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. How can a man think in his heart, believing in his heart, that all is well with him and not be happy? How could a man do that? It's not possible for a person to believe that all is well with them and not have joy and not be happy. So when you go to believing all is well with you, somebody, but Brother Pike, how can I believe that? How can you believe anything else? Somebody said, well, you keep telling me that Jesus has healed me when I know that I'm sick. It doesn't matter if you die. He still healed you. Oh, somebody says, you must be crazy, preacher. No, I'm not crazy. If I put $1 million in the bank for Brother Taylor, he's got $1 million. Whether he ever spends a dime of it or not, if he dies of starvation, he still had $1 million. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. The Bible said, by his stripes I was healed. And that he bare my sicknesses in his body on the tree. And the Bible said he became a curse for me. So I'm healed. It doesn't matter whether I accept it or not. My healing is still there. You understand what I'm saying? It's like a pardon. A pardon is considered a pardon if you accept it. But nevertheless, if you're given a pardon, you got a pardon. Whether you ever accept it or not. And the Bible said Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. So then that means without respect to person, I've got my healing whether I ever go use it or not. I've got my blessing where I ever use it or not. See, I could do like the prodigal. I can go out and I can squander all that God gave me. And then I can come back and repent and God will lift me up and help me and refurbish all over again. Or I can stay at home like the son that was so good as he thought. And I can have everything and never use anything. You know, when the prodigal came back and the father gave a great jubilee, a great banquet, this self-righteous person came to him and said, Father, all these many years I've served you. All these many years I've been at home and you've never given me a feast for my friends. And he said, Son. He said, the fatted calf has been there all the time. He said, all that I have is thine. You could have used it any time. But said, this thy brother that was lost and now he is found. He's been out there. He's been with the pigs, as we would say. He's been out with the swine. He knows what it is to do without. He knows what it is to see these great, wonderful riches in returning and saying, my God, this is my father's house. And all of this, and I've been out here in the cold. See, but you can stay at home, not use any of it. You can be religious and pious and not use any of the benefits of God. But folks, I'm going to use the benefits of God. I'm going to use the benefits of God. I thank God for my healing. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for my life. I thank God for my strength. I thank God for giving me anything I want, for me to go anywhere I want, to be anything I want. I thank God for that. I said, imagine, well, if he gave it to me, then I would thank God for it too. No, you wouldn't. If he gave it to you, you wouldn't do what I did. Somebody would say, well, I believe I would. Well, why didn't you do it? He gave it to you. He died to take away the sins of the world. He said, what I say to one, I say unto all, I have given unto you all things that pertain unto life. What have you done with it? Have you rejoiced? Have you given, you know, let's take Abraham for instance. When God gave Abraham a promise, the one thing that pleased God about Abraham was that Abraham rejoiced in that promise. You know, he rejoiced. Somebody said, well, if God gave me a promise, I'd rejoice. He gave you promises here. 32,000, they say, that's in this Bible, all to you. Peace on earth and goodwill toward you. Or toward men. Or mankind. Now then, Abraham rejoiced. Somebody would say, well, I'm going to try to believe that, Brother Pike. And I'm going to believe that, Brother Pye. I'm going to believe that, Brother Pye. And when that thing come to pass, I'm going to have myself a jubilee. That wasn't the way Abraham did it. That wasn't the way Abraham did it. The Bible said we believe to see. That is to say, our believing is what brings it to pass. Thomas said, when I see, I'll believe. Let me tell you something. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, then you mean that what we have to do is to believe that God's going to bless us and God will bless us. That is, he'll give us of his blessing. No, that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm simply saying that if I read a book and it says there was a George Washington, he was the president, that's a knowledge. I don't have to try to believe that there was a George Washington. I believe that he was a president. I believe that that thing's going to come about if I believe. That's a knowledge. That's wrote in the book. See, I'm not trying to believe that God's going to bless me. It's wrote in the book that God blessed me. It's wrote in the book that God gave me all things that pertain unto life in Christ. It's wrote in the book that he bare my infirmities and my sickness in his body on the tree. That's a knowledge. It's right here. It's history. We can go see the Holy Land. We can go back and check the record. That's a knowledge. I don't have to believe that. What God wants me to believe is in what he has said about it. When I read about George Washington, it's entirely up to me to believe whether or not there was a George Washington, whether or not that that's telling the truth. When that knowledge is presented to me, just like I present you the knowledge of Christ, it's up to me to go into my human reasoning to see if I'm going to conceive of this thing by faith. That is, if I believe what they said about George Washington, that is a conception. That is, I have conceived of that to the extent I am now a believer. I say, Brother Taylor, you ever heard of George Washington? He said, well, what about him? I said, well, there was a George Washington, whether you believe it or not. You know, when we learn about God, when we learn about Jesus, as Paul declared unto them, the unknown God, that his name is Jesus, and salvation is in his name. And when it is declared unto us by the minister, these things concerning the knowledge of God, you see the Holy Land, you know that it's there, and then you go into your reasoning, you know, to see as to power of decision. What do you think about it? And how that you're going to reason about it? What you're going to think about it? And then after you consider it and go through your intellectual wilderness of tossing it to and fro, if you believe it, then that is a divine conception, because that takes place in your heart. It becomes a conviction. That becomes faith. And through that, the blessings of God stream down from heaven, which is the Spirit. For his word is spirit, and his word is life. And when I speak that word, if you hear that word, faith cometh by the hearing. For when that word comes forth and that word strikes your mind, it strikes your intellectual senses and your human senses, reaches out, takes hold of it. There's been an utterance, there's been a sound. See, as in the beginning was the word, but before it became a word, it was God, the great light. And that light was a great understanding. And when that light come forth, then God spoke, and that was the beginning. There was no beginning with God until then. I've said this a lot of times. No yesterday, today, and tomorrow with God. See, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, but wherever the sun is, it's always daylight. It's called the day star. It only gets night to you and I because the sun is absent as to where we're at, on our side of the hill. But on the side of the hill where the sun is, everything's all right. Now, I said that to say this, when the word came forth, that was the beginning. In the beginning, that is the beginning of my life, the beginning of the creation of all things, the beginning of this world, because before the beginning of this world, there was no beginning with God. God was, God is, God forever shall be. From everlasting to everlasting, God is the great light. See, but when God went to create us to this little world, this little thing that we call the world, then there came a word. And that word, the Bible said, came forth and was made flesh. That word sounded, it echoed. It went out, and when that word went out, there was trees that came forth, and there was great species that came forth in the ocean, and the stars came forth in the heaven, and you and I came forth. See, because the Spirit had given forth utterance, and we're one with the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. We're one with the Word. We're born of the Word. We're begotten of the Word. See, God sent His Word, and we conceived of the Word, and the old one died as to what was created by the Word, and now we're born of the Word as to the new birth. Jesus Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the first brother among many brethren. So this Word comes. And this Word comes, it's from God. When the preacher preaches, it is God. Not the preacher speaking. Paul said, it's not me, but it is God speaking from within me. So then God speaks. And there comes an oral sound. From my vocal organs comes an oral sound. And it strikes your ear as to tangible means or to a verbal inspiration. Well, that is to say, an oral expression, an audible sound. And all of a sudden, you hear something. And you record that in your ear. And that sound goes into your brain work. See, you reach out and touch things with your hands, your five human senses. It makes you to be in contact with this world. You stay in touch with this world. You touch base with this world. See, but when this word goes beyond that feeling of inspiration as to vibrations, it vibrates and then it goes down into the heart, into the blood cells, into the physics, the human physics. It goes down into that. It gets down into the blood genes. And seeing the vibrations is given off from an inspiration of life. Life, a godly inspiration. And this quickening from that eternal Spirit goes all through your blood genetics and changes your blood cells into an eternal being. Changes your blood into royal blood. And He changes you into an eternal celestial creature. That's why the light shines forth. Shine forth from Jesus' face, from Moses' face, from Stephen's face, when they beheld Stephen's face as though it was an angel. So then we see the power of this word of Spirit in life. When it comes to you, it's just a sound. But when it goes into you, it becomes Spirit. And it becomes life, or it becomes quickening. See, going all through your body, and it heals your body. It does away with infirm spirits. It drives out those infected parts of the body. It redoes them and it heals them and it recreates just like it did when God spoke it. So it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Still God speaking the same to 1,000 generations. The Bible speaks of Israel having this word of faith and it did not profit them that heard it because they didn't place any faith or confidence in it. So then faith cometh by the hearing of the word. That is, you hear it, and then if you believe it, then it becomes part of you. If you hear it and don't believe it, then you're brought into the judgments of God. Because of your unbelief. The Bible said, beware lest an evil heart of unbelief be in you. The wrath of God abides on you if you believe not. Believe not the doctrine, the statement, the preachings, and the words of the Son of God. And the wrath of God burns and abides upon you. Because He says within His heart, I have done all things well. I prepared my supper. I have sent out my invitations. I've asked you to come. It didn't cost you anything. And yet you refuse to do it. He said, go out and burn their cities. Destroy those wicked men. Invite others into my supper. So then God has done all things as to this supper of charity, this feast. He's done all things. Haven't asked you to do anything. And now He says, just come on now. Straighten your lives out just by coming to my love and receiving my blessings. And this inspiration will cause you to get away from that old warped up mind that you've got. It'll cause those crooked limbs to straighten out physically and spiritually. It'll cause those that's all warped up and deformed spiritually speaking. Those that are dwarfed, it'll bring them back to the reality of the perfect stature of Jesus Christ. So then by stripes we're healed. Not only spiritually, but physically, for the Bible said that He gave the apostles power to go about healing the sick, casting out devils. And wherever Jesus went, He healed the sick. And He said, into whatsoever place you go, heal the sick. And they that receive you, heal the sick. and tell them that the kingdom of God is coming to them. Because the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That is, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power to be my witnesses. You receive power to do great things. And greater things, Jesus said, shall you do than I do, because I go to the Father. So then you receive power, for you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So then he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Taking this glad tidings of great joy, saying peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So then we say, what then is the will of God? The will of God is good. And the will of God to you is very good. And the will of God means good to you as to healing. Good to you as prosperity. Good to you as salvation. Good to you that I love you. You're my dear children. I'm watching over you. You're the apple of my eye. And they that touch you touch the apple of my eye. And goodwill to you, in that I've given you all things that pertain unto life, and goodwill toward you, that I've given you the desires of your heart, goodwill toward you, that if you'll delight yourself in me, I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And the Bible said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to you. That say what you will and believe it, and it shall be done. Decree it in your heart, and it shall come to pass, because goodwill to you from God. No more sin. No more wrath. No more problems from God. All goodwill toward you. If thou canst believe. If you will believe. So then when you see all these calamities coming, it's because of unbelief. God has said to them of California, you do thus and thus and thus and thus. But he finds them at a ball game over here when they should be in the church somewhere seeking God, or should be doing something as pertaining to life. Should be telling their neighbor. Somebody said, well, I'm already a Christian, Brother Pike. I've already got my healing. I've already got salvation. Then are ye your brother's keeper. And you should be going into all the world. Every person in every way as to whatever position in life they can hold. Even the labor that you might have to give. See, everyone is the members of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ all together was about the Father's business. And if you are a member, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You'll be about the Father's business. And if you're not about the Father's business, then you're about the business of the flesh and the world. And if you are, then you're of the devil, because the Bible said, Satan, save us the things that be of this world. Let's give him another. All right. Whatever you're doing, whether it's in business or whatever you're doing, doesn't matter what it is. The Bible said in word or in deed, whether it's your business, your work, whatever you're called to, your capacity of office in life, as the service to your fellow man, the Bible said, do all in the name of Jesus, giving glory unto God. And you're out there laboring that you might have to give. You're out there being a testimony. You're out there doing this for God. Everything that you're doing indeed, you're doing it for God. And if there's one thing in your life that you're not doing for God, then you'll need to get rid of it. As it has been said, you know, if there's one hair up here that's not sanctified, let's pluck it out. We don't need it, even if it leaves the bald spot. All right, let's stand together. May the Lord bless you. A lot of things I'd say to you tonight, but I know that it gets kind of uncomfortable when you're sitting so long. Let's be about our Father's business. That's what I like. Let's sing about Jesus. Sing about Jesus. And the songwriter said, talk about the Lord. Let us talk about Jesus. Because he's been so good to me. I used to sing that song. So now then we know the will of God. Everybody that I'm looking at here that knows the will of God, now raise your hand. All right. That's good. Now if nobody don't know the will of God after this preaching, then that means they are ignorant. And Paul said, if they be ignorant, let them be ignorant. For if this gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Whom the God of this world, having blinded their eyes, that they see not, the eyes of understanding being darkened, yours being enlightened, they, having theirs darkened, cannot see when good comes. So then you just have to leave them alone, because they be children of darkness, they be the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But you're children of light, and you comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful thing of Almighty God. Whoo, don't that make you sigh sovereignly? So you know the will of God now. What is the will of God? Somebody said, I'm sick, Brother Pike. Now, what is the will of God for me? Good will that you may stay sick long, long, long and glorify God. That don't sound right, does it? That don't sound right. Don't sound right. As it has been said, somebody said, well, I'm so sick. And I know that in this I'm glorifying God. Well, it has been said, bless your heart. Don't be looking for a pill and don't be looking for a doctor. You don't want to interfere with God's glory. Let's give God a hand. Just tell God to pour it on the more and the more and the more. God has no pleasure in death. God hath no pleasure in sickness. Sickness is of the devil. These calamities are of the devil, but you're the one that gives place to them. And God, having said, I sent them, which means he allowed those to come. As it was in the days of Job when the devil went before God, he said thus and thus. God gave him permission. That way God was the one that sent it. So let us believe and let us praise God and let us do the thing that pleases God. Like it was said of the little woman with the infirmity. It was said of the little woman, and who hath sinned, her or her parents? He said, no one. This is for the glory of God. And as I say, not that she was sick, but in that he worked a great miracle and people saw him deliver her from the power of the devil. That was for the glory of God. You love the Lord? All right, our goal is to be delivered from the devil. All things that pertain unto life. I have given you all things that pertain unto life. What is this then for this woman that is sick, or this man that is sick? What is this that he hath given unto them? Health. Because that's what pertains unto life. He didn't give them sickness. The Bible said he hath not given us the spirit of confusion. That's not of God. And the Bible said he hath not given us the spirit of error. Though you error, he didn't give it to you. You gave place to the devil. So in our unbelief, we give place to the devil for taking the shield of faith. Not casting away your faith, which hath great recompense and reward, but taking the shield of faith, you're able to quench all of the sickness as to the fire darts of the devil. All of his things, all of the torments, all of the tortures. You have all power over death to live eternally and pass from death unto life and have eternal life. You have all power over the devil to cast out unclean spirits. And the Bible said, don't rejoice because you have power over the spirits, but rather because your names are written down the Lamb's Book of Life. In that God gave this to us before the world ever was and revealed it unto us by his Son Jesus. And when his Son came, then it was said, peace on earth. And this is my feeling. So it's always been my feeling toward you. But through Eve's weakness and sin, the devil perverted everything. And because God was trying to destroy sin, man got it in his mind that God was trying to destroy him. And Paul said, that which was good as to the law, I thought it brought me life, it brought me death. And then he differentiated and he said, I know now it wasn't against me, because God hath given his Son to fulfill that righteousness in me. And that the body is the Lord's. But he said the body of this death, because it was an infiltration of Lucifer's mind and evil and concupiscence. So he said God sent the spirit to get this out of my body, to get this disease out of me so I can be whole again. You know when you got cancer, you're dying, you stink. See, nobody wants to be around you. But if you can get the right thing on the inside and get that out, then you're whole again. And then you're refreshing again. Your perspiring is not ugly and dirty and smelly. You're all right again. Everything's fine. People won't associate with you again. See, so God was after the devil, and he was trying to get the devil out of you. He's never been trying to hurt you. So let's draw nigh unto God and let's work together. If God's coming from this way, as from heaven, let us rise to meet him this way, as from earth. And let us, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Let's rise up to where Jesus is. And let's link ourselves together with God and let that great light meet our spirit. And through that, our spirit and light become one. That is God in our spirit. And then with this great light is to the knowledge of his will to make us believe, releasing the power of God into a purified heart, in that he purifies our heart through faith. Let it come through our heart, come out in our blood genetics till it makes our countenance shine. Wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. Let it come out and eliminate all of the disease and all of this middle wall of partition as intellectual darkness and sickness and all these things that God hates will utterly be consumed, because in Christ it was gone. We esteem him smitten of God. He that knew no sin, having been made our sin, that we're now made his wonderful body, even the righteousness of Jesus Christ, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. And since he's raised again, the angel says, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Have a good time in God, folks. Rejoice forevermore in the heavenly places. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. So Abraham, what did he do? He believed to see. When that was said, he thought, that is it. Glory to God, it happened. The writer said, just like he said. So Abraham was just rejoicing, saying, my God, he's given us a little one, sir. He's given us a little one. Not that he's going to give us a little one. Not that it's going to work out all right. Not if we try to believe. But he said, my God, did you hear what God said? He's given us a little one. That's the way he believed. Even though it was yet to come to pass, he gave it because his word said so. And that's the way it is with you and I. God has already given it. Already given it. And he's told us about this wonderful knowledge, revealed it to us. And we can say, I can say, thank God, Brother Taylor, he healed me. Thank God he saved me. Have you ever noticed, you go around, you don't go around telling somebody that God's going to save me. I'm believing. You know, there's people in the world that live like that. They say, if I just hold on, that is, if I keep believing, God's going to save me. There's people, there's religious groups that believe that, even in the Pentecostal world. But folks, that ain't the way it is at all. We are convinced that we have passed from death into life. That God hath taken our iniquities away. That God did make an end of sin. That we are now, John said, sons of God. Now. We already have all things that pertain unto life. This is salvation. This is faith. This is deliverance. This is true deliverance. And when we believe that, if we believe that we are Christians, that we have passed from death unto life, and that we are alive forevermore, and that we cannot sin, how is it then that we keep saying, if I keep believing, he'll heal me? Don't you see how ignorant that is? You say out of one side of your mouth that the powerful God Spirit has made you eternal and saved you forever, and you testify that he's already done it. And then when it comes to your healing, you say, if I hold on, praise God, I'm trying to believe. I know if I can believe, he'll heal me. Don't you see how ignorant that is? The same word that said that he bare your sicknesses was the same word that said he took your infirmities. And it's the same God word that healed you. By his stripes you were healed. The same God word that healed you that made you eternal when he gave you eternal life. So what should we say? I thank God because I'm healthy. I thank God because I'm healed. Somebody said, but old Brother Pike, you called me to confess a lie because I got a pain in my neck. Well, bless your heart. Get that lying vanity out of there. It ain't got no business being there. And if you'll get that wicked, evil heart of yours straight, it won't be there. Because that is a lying vanity. And I'm not asking you to confess a lie. I'm asking you to confess the truth. The Bible said he healed you. Now, am I going to confess what he said about it and believe what he said about it as that being the truth, realizing that I'm not telling a lie, that that is true? Whether I accept the money or not, it's in the bank. Am I going to confess it that way? Or am I going to look at a lying vanity and confess a lying vanity? That's when you lie against the truth. The Bible said, lie not against the truth. That's where the lie is. So I say, Brother Taylor, I'm a Christian. He says, how do you know? You don't know. You got to hold on till the end. I say, oh no, Brother Taylor. No, no, I'm a Christian, brother. I am a Christian. Anybody believe like I do here? I am a Christian. I pass from death unto life. Brother Taylor says, well, I know you made some mistakes. I saw you make the mistakes. I said, well, I have to admit that I did. There you are, he says. There you are. Somebody said, I felt the pain. Somebody said, I know you took a pill. Ha, somebody says. And you say you're healed. Folks, a pill bottle ain't got nothing to do with it. Even if you go to the doctor, it ain't got nothing to do with it. God did the job. He healed me. By Christ's stripes, I'm healed. It doesn't matter about pain. It doesn't matter about feeling. It doesn't matter about anything else. No more than it matters about me stumbling and staggering, whatever. I'm a Christian. I have eternal life. I might stagger and stumble a dozen times, but the Bible said a good man will fall seven times and get back up because I'm a good man in Him by His goodness. I'm healed in Him. Irregardless to symptoms and pains, I'm healed. And I believe that. I believe that. Somebody said, why in the world do you believe that? I believe that because it's true. Hallelujah. I believe that because it's true. Jesus said, I come to bear witness of the truth. And they said, what is truth? He said, God's Word. God is the Spirit of truth. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? All you happy, healthy people should be rejoicing to sing a song. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day, for there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Somebody said, Brother Pike, if I just know, if I only knew it was His will to heal me. I like what you're preaching and I believe it. And if I ever find out it's His will, folks, let me tell you something. You ain't never going to find out it's His will. Let's give the Lord a hand. You're blind and you don't know where you're going, and you're going to fall into the ditch. People who hear the Word of God and believe the Word of God know the will of God. For Jesus said, as it is written of me, O God, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. So then, when I said peace on earth and good will from God to mankind, how can you blindly stand there and say, I wonder what His will is? I wonder if He wants to save me. What I say to one, I say to all. I wonder if He wants to heal me. Let's thank God. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Have faith in the Word of God. God is the Word. Have faith in what you've heard from the Word of God. Have faith in Jesus. Have faith in all things are possible to them that believe. Can you believe? Decree a thing in your heart and watch it come to pass. One more time. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Sing it with me now. Have faith. Have faith in God. Have mountain, God, pour your healing, have faith in God. You love him? They used to sing that song, Only Believe, Only Believe. Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe. Things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Jesus, he's here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. If God was here, going about doing good, as he was in the Bible days, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, that is to say Jesus, then you'd believe as he come forth and touch you. Somebody said, when he comes, I'll believe. Well, he's here in the midst of us. We're gathered in his name. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going about healing all. What I send to one, I send to all. Be thou made whole, he said. Goodwill towards you. If thou canst believe, decree it in your heart. Ask it in my name. Say what you will. Don't doubt. And I believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, all things are possible, Lord, I believe. Let's sing, Come Into My Heart. Come into my heart. The altars are open. Into my heart. Just come in to my heart. Lord Jesus. Just come in to and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. For I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in
stay for all how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Just listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away.
Don't you love the Lord Jesus? To love him, to believe him, to live holy and godly and perfect in his sight. Why wouldn't you want to live perfect? Why wouldn't you want to be like him? Somebody said, I don't have to live perfect. He saved me by his blood. I know one thing. Maybe you call it being greedy. But if somebody gave me $1 million and they said, look, I got 10 million more. And then after that, I got 1 billion. All you got to do is just take this million and use it to get over here where I'm at and start collecting by the millions. Couldn't you just picture me saying, this million's good enough. It'll do. It'll do. I've never met a man in my life like that. I never met a woman. Never met a woman. There ain't a person in this church nor listening to me that's looking at me would take that attitude. Not one. They'd collect those millions and the cripple would get over there somehow, and the sick would get over there somehow, and people that's too lazy to work, that's got all kind of grunts and pains, somehow they'd be able to get to where those millions was. Don't you just love the Lord? Let's sing, I love him. Jesus said, the love of God is to keep his commandments. That's what the love of God is.
I love him. First loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Now
here comes the promises. Every promise in the book, it is mine. 32,000. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar, to feast with the King, to dine as his guest.
How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed faith and a glow with His light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, they're gems in His crown to shine. We'll walk in the light, that beautiful light. We'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us, by day and by night. Jesus, You're the light of my world. I'll walk in His light, that beautiful light. We'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy is bright. Shine all around us, by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Can you sing that with me? We'll walk in God's light, that beautiful light. We'll walk where the dewdrops of mercies are bright. Shine all around us, by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. One more time. We'll walk. The Bible said, and it shall come to pass that in the evening time there shall be light. And sure enough, the evening time is here, and the veil is moved away, and now there's light. Glorious light. This light, the Bible said, and her light was so precious, most precious, this wonderful understanding of God, the light, the enlightening of your eyes of understanding. So we walk in the light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy is bright. Shine all around us, by day and by night. Jesus, You're the light of my world. Let's sing this little chorus. Sister Dale probably remembers it. If I can. Give me another kiss. Unshackled with a heavy burden, laden with a load of care. But the hand of Jesus touched me, and I'll walk no more in the night. Sing that with me now. For He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh,
Something happened, and now, oh, I know Jesus touched me, and He made me whole. Sing it with me now. For my Lord, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and He made me. Oh, yes, He touched me. My Lord, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now, oh, now I know that Jesus touched me, and He made me whole. For this is like heaven, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. I'm shouting the victory. I'm shouting the victory. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? Worshiping again, coming together to serve the Lord in spirit and holiness, in righteousness and in truth. For as the Spirit of God said concerning John's father and the people, for God has ordained that we should serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. All the days of our life we should serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. God, the Spirit of holiness, Paul said, whom I serve with my spirit. And if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, He shall also by His Spirit which dwelleth within you, in that you're the temple of the living God, He walks in you, He dwells in you, He talks in you, He will also by His Spirit quicken your mortal body by this wonderful Spirit that dwelleth within you. We sing that song, God is moving by His Spirit. Let's sing it as we lift our hands and close our eyes. God is moving by His Spirit, moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders God is doing. Move, O Lord, in us. Raise it just a little and sing it again. God is moving by His Spirit.
Spirit moving in all the world, signs and wonders God is doing. Move, O Lord, in the well, send us a little rain, Lord. Send us a little rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Oh, send us a little rain, Lord. Send us a little rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. For there's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the latter rain. Oh, there's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the latter rain. Well, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in your latter rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in your latter rain. Oh, we won't. Remember, he said, I'll send you the former and the latter rain, all in its season. Latter rains. We want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter. Oh, I praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for that latter rain. Oh, I praise you for that rain, Lord. Praise you for that rain, Lord. Praise you for that latter rain. Salvation's in the rain. Salvation's in the rain, Lord. Salvation's in the latter rain. Salvation's in the rain, Lord. Salvation's in the rain, Lord. Salvation's in. Oh, there's peace in the rain, Lord. Peace in the rain, Lord. Heavenly peace. The latter. Oh, there's peace in the rain, Lord. Peace in the rain, Lord. Peace in that light. I'm enjoying this rain, Lord. I'm enjoying this rain. Enjoying the latter rain. I'm enjoying this rain, Lord. Enjoying this rain, Lord. Enjoying the last. Sing it one more time. So we thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you for the latter rain. Oh, we thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you for this latter rain. So we praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the latter rain. Oh, we praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for this latter. One more time. Got my healing from the rain, Lord. Healing from the rain, Lord.
healing from the latter rain. Got my healing from the rain, Lord. Healing from the rain, Lord. Healing from the latter rain. Oh, there's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in that rain, Lord. Healing in that light. Let him come. Partake of this water of life freely. Let whosoever will drink of this latter rain. Healing in this light. I've been healed by the rain, Lord. Been healed by that outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh without respect to persons. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody believe in that because I can feel the Holy Ghost. Healed by the rain, Lord. Been healed by... Remember now, you've been healed, not going to get healed. We've been healed by that rain, Lord. Healed by that rain, Lord. Healed by that latter rain. We've been healed by that rain, Lord. Healed by that rain, Lord. Healed by that latter. Sing it with me now. We've been saved by the rain, Lord. Saved by the rain, Lord. Saved by that latter rain. We've been saved by the rain, Lord. Saved by the rain, Lord. Saved by that latter rain. You love the Lord? We'll sing one more time. Sin was lost in the rain, Lord. Lost in the rain, Lord. Lost in the light. Remember now, he come to make an end of sin. My sin is lost in the rain, Lord. Ain't got no more. It ain't there no more. It ain't there no more. Don't carry it around with you. It's a burden. Sin lost in the rain, Lord. Lost in the rain, Lord. Lost in that latter rain. My sin is gone by the rain, Lord. Gone by the rain, Lord. Gone by that latter rain. I was found by the rain, Lord. Found by the rain. Once lost, but now I'm found. Latter rain. Found by the rain, Lord. Not lost anymore now. Not lost anymore. By that latter rain. It was your mighty, mighty Spirit. Your mighty, mighty Spirit. Mighty, mighty Spirit. It was your mighty, mighty Spirit, mighty, mighty Spirit, that is the latter rain. Oh, I've got your Spirit, Lord. I've got members that he poured out of his Spirit upon all flesh. So I feel your Spirit, Lord. I feel your Spirit, Lord. That is my latter rain. Oh, there's joy in the rain, Lord. Joy in the rain, Lord. Joy in the... Can you give him a wave offering? Oh, there's joy in this rain, Lord. Joy in this rain, Lord. Joy in this latter rain. I'll rejoice in the rain, Lord. Rejoice in... You ever seen a little kid playing out in the rain? Just jumping up and down and splattering? I'll rejoice in the rain, Lord. Rejoice in the rain. Let your joy be full now. You haven't asked of me. Ask that you might receive.
so your joy will be full. I will ask in the rain, Lord. Ask in the rain, Lord. Ask of your latter rain. Pray for rain, he said, I'll make bright clouds. By faith in the rain, Lord, faith in the latter rain. I'll decree it in my heart, Lord. Decree it in my heart, Lord. Decree it in the latter rain. I'll believe it in my heart, Lord. Believe it in my heart, Lord. Believe in your latter rain. One more time. So we praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the latter rain. Oh, we praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the latter. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. I appreciate you tarrying here with us to sing and to worship God. You know, this is the way you get that thing way down deep in your soul. We sing that, give me that old time religion. Can we sing that just as we close? Can we, Sister Dale? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Time religion. Old time religion. Religion calls, it's pretty enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy, and it's pretty enough for me. I've got that time religion, got that old time religion, got that old time religion, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, cause it's good enough. Makes me love even your enemies, everybody. Love your enemies now. Do good to them that spitefully use you. Pray for them that persecute you. Got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. Good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Love everybody. Love everybody. Got that old time religion, got that old time religion, time religion, and it's good. It took us all to heaven, oh, it took us all to heaven, took us all to heaven, and it's good enough. Sitting in these heavenly places, sitting in these heavenly places, sitting in these heavenly places, and it's good enough. Got that old time religion, got that old time religion, got that old time religion, and it's good enough. Sitting in these heavenly places, sitting in these heavenly places, sitting in these heavenly places, and it's good enough for me. I've got that old-time religion, got that old-time religion, got that old-time religion, and it's good enough. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes now. I trust that if you've got the old-time religion, I trust that you have. I trust that you have. I trust that you've got it tonight. If you haven't got the old-time religion, then that's what you need, is that old-time religion. This is the thing that takes you to heaven. They say it will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. And it's good enough for me.
I'm going to ask Brother Vince to come up, if you will, and dismiss us. And while Brother Vince is coming, let's just stop and think, search our hearts, and see if deep, deep, deep down in our heart that we believe what the preacher preached tonight. Said, believe my prophets and prosper. See if we really deep, deep down believe in what has been said tonight. Folks, if you'll throw everything out of your mind, your feelings, your concern, your trying to figure it out, your programs, your plans to try to understand when and where and how much, and just say, my God, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm worn. Lord, this old brain is just beating me to death. God, deliver me from the body of this death. I ain't taking no thought for tomorrow. I ain't taking no thought for 15 minutes from now. I'm happy. I'm relaxed. I'm forgetting all things. I'm moving all things out of my mind. I'm just going to thank Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's my holy thing. And I'm going to thank of the love of God and what He's done for me, and quit worrying about all these other things that I've been trying to figure out how to do for myself. You love the Lord? I said, and I'm going to stop trying to figure out all these other things about what I'm going to do for myself and who I am and what I am and what I'm going to be and how much of my efforts is going to take to get me there. Now I'm going to be contented in whatsoever state I find myself, and I'm not going to worry about my boss and my employee and my job and my income and my health and my wife and my husband and my daughter and my son and my car and my land and my houses and how much money I got or ain't got or could have had if I'd have done better. I'm not going to worry about the stumblings and staggerings of the past. I've stumbled and staggered. God, I ask you to forgive me for it. You've took it all away. It's lost in the rain. You've forgotten all of those things, and I'm going to forget them. And Lord, I'm not going to try to figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow, because I'm to take no thought for tomorrow, because there might not be a tomorrow. So with you, there's no yesterday and tomorrow. I'm eternally happy. Glory to God, I found it. Let's give him another hand. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands again and close our eyes and enjoy this wonderful sweet forever. They sang that song, In the Sweet Forever. Oh, it's so wonderful. We're in the sweet forever. We're already in the sweet forever. Did you know that? We're already in the sweet forever. You pass from death into life, and you're in heaven, and you've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and you're already in the sweet forever.